Blog Talk Radio.
Almost well, live. Come on. From somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee, Regime Entertainment presents It's Not Me, It's You, the show where the good, the bad, and the ugly of relationships are discussed from both genders' point of view. And now, here's your host, John.
Hey, and good afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to It's Not Me, It's You, coming to you live from rainy Nashville during CMA week, where 300,000 of our closest friends plopped down on our city to listen to country music and hang out with everybody. So I've been working in that all week, but always have time for our show. And tonight we have a really good show for you. We're going to talk about soulmates, how to find one, how to recognize one, and actually if they even exist. I've been doing a little bit of talking around town with people in the last couple of days about this and got some really interesting things to share. My co-host is brand new with us. Her name is Brandy Nash. She'll be joining us shortly, but without further ado, we're going to get on with music. And this is by my buddy Mark Lonsway, and this is Hey Hey Love. Enjoy.
Spend so much time hiding. Now I want to catch the sun. Wanna catch the sun. If we could touch the silver lining and see what we become, what would we become? Thank you.
was Mark Lonsway with Hey Hey Love, one of my favorite songs. And joining me tonight is my new good friend, Brandy Nash. Brandy, how are you this evening?
Well, hello. I'm doing fine. How are you, John?
I'm fine, thank you. Long day at CMA Fest, but we're off and running for the evening. And when I brought this topic up to Brandy, you know, she has a lot of experience in media, TV, and film, and you know, commercial and radio and all that stuff. So, and being a happily married woman, we assume, she was a good subject matter for this. And that is finding your soulmate. Now, you know, the last couple of days being downtown with all the people, I've been talking to a lot of folks about this, and it's always been my idea, my perception, that women care and use the word soulmate more than men do. But to be honest with you, the last couple of days, you know, most of the women I've been talking to have said, nah, I don't believe in it. And that just really took me by surprise, I think. And let's hear your opinion, Brandy, on the term soulmate. What is the meaning of the word to you?
Sure. Well, you know, I think when I was younger, and I think when I first started noticing, like maybe in high school, a lot of girls mainly would start talking about, oh, maybe he's the one. And eventually that graduated into the term my soulmate, you know, and then everybody's out there thinking there's just one. So I think that personally for me, it's been a myth that people think, first of all, that there's one soulmate, if there is a soulmate at all, and that one is someone of the opposite sex, and he's out there or she's out there. You just have to wait, or you have to search. Maybe you need to travel the world, but you're going to find that person, and that soulmate is essentially the universe conspiring to connect you two, because from the moment of time, you two were meant, your souls were meant to be one. And I think with a little maturity, and as I've gotten older, I realize that maybe there is technically such a thing as a soulmate, in that you could have a girlfriend that's a soulmate. You could have people with whom maybe you connect immediately with, or that you want to get to know better. You meet someone and you just feel something. Maybe that's more chemistry, you know, more chemical than anything else, but you don't realize it at the time. Maybe you become enamored with someone. But I'm actually in my second marriage right now, and I don't believe that there is such thing as just one other man for me in my life. I mean, to think that would be to limit myself and what God might have for me in my own life, what possibilities would be there. So I hope that answers to a degree, maybe not specific, but
well, it does. And I think, you know, and a lot of and my belief of it is, you know, I mean, I've never really believed in it, to be honest with you. I mean, the term soulmate to me, when I hear it, I cringe, because it's like, really, you're going to rule out everybody else that might be really great for you because they don't have the traits of your soulmate, whatever that is. And we're going to go through a couple of, you know, ways to potentially recognize if you believe in it. And again, everybody's different. And, you know, we don't push our beliefs on people here on this show, but giving everybody options, but you know, some ways to recognize it and some ways to tell if that person is. Now, one of the things I have heard in the past a lot, especially with women, because women tend to get closer with each other than men do. Y'all smell better, probably. That's my main reason. But
I can agree with that, and the term in general. Yeah, we do. Women,
a lot of women. Well, they are, but I mean, you're more likely to find your soulmate, quote unquote soulmate, with your best friend or BFF, if you want to, than you would with a guy. And I've heard that before, but I mean, I don't know who said that it has to be your spouse or significant other that you're soulmates with. You know what I mean? I mean, you can be soulmates with your dog. I don't really care, but I think a lot of people have taken that term to mean a whole lot more than I think it was originally meant to mean. So I don't know. I found it interesting talking to folks about the word and if they believed in it. And a lot of them don't. A lot of women don't. And I just found that really fascinating. I know most men, I don't know that they would come around and say soulmate, but, you know, somebody who, you know, they know they can't not be around. And you see couples, and I know several couples that you can tell that they are best friends and they are going to be together forever, because they, you know, it goes back to finishing finishing each other's sentences, and it goes back to wanting to be away from each other. And that's really great, but does that constitute the word soulmate? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say no. Personally, no. I would say no because, you know, we could probably do two entire different radio programs about this because on the one side, we're touching on the area of commitment. And when you just flat out decide, I'm going to, let's just say marriage. Everybody believes in conventional marriage, but let's just say we're suggesting that here. If someone's sure. going to get married and they've decided, both people in the marriage have decided, we're going to stay married forever, no matter what, then that simply means that, heck, after 45 or 50 years together, they probably are going to finish each other's sentences. They've been through ups and downs and everything else to the point that they've gotten so settled, but it's not settled in an ugly sort of way like Archie Bunker, you know, back on an old TV show. It's more settled in a contentment sort of way. And you put through a lot of crap, you might say, in the tough years, and you find yourself an elderly man or an elderly woman who's actually got a comfortable partner there to sit by them in the evening. Maybe want to play a game of cards. You know, they've got history together. And I think that goes back with what you mentioned earlier, finishing up someone's sentence. And then, you know, when you talk about someone just generalizing and saying, where's my soulmate or whatnot, a few years ago, John, I decided to go back to school to work on my master's and become a marriage and family therapist. And I was sitting in a class one day, and I had a professor say, you know, if anyone has a question about a soulmate, not, you know, just one, not plural, let's talk about it. And we did. And I guess the clearest description for me, and it was kind of like a light bulb coming off of me at the time, was he said, let's say this, and again, we go back to the picturing that imaginary couple I just mentioned that got married, decided to stay married forever. Well, let's just say it's not, obviously one of them is going to die first. More than likely, they're not going to die together. So let's say one of them passes, the other one's left alone, and maybe they have another 10, 15, 20 years left on them. Are we to say in society that there is only one soulmate, let's say the wife passed, for that gentleman there, and that was his only soulmate, she is gone and there is no other? That would be absurd. He may have a slew of 20 women actually, wanting to bring him casseroles. I hear that elderly men and widowed men in general, the casserole train's pretty heavy these days. The ladies are single, they're knocking on the door, you know.
Yeah, they got that insurance money and stuff now, but.
Right. And you are so funny. But, you know, I think that as humans, too, that we were created for relationships with each other. Life is all about relationships. I don't know about you, John, but I could sit in the biggest house on the biggest hill and the prettiest island in the world, and if I'm alone, I'm not going to be happy. So I think we all want a companion in life.
We do, absolutely. But does that have to be – does that person have to be the quote-unquote – the one or the soulmate. So, but it actually
absolutely
goes back
not,
to,
I would say.
And this is actually part one of a two-part series. Next week, next week's show, we're going to have on a couple. The woman, her name is Kip Kirby. She's very well known here in Nashville. She was married to a very well respected and famous songwriter who passed away of cancer a couple, 3 years ago. And she found love again. She went online and she found her second soulmate. And so we're going to hear her story, their story, her and John's story next week on It's Not Me, It's You. So today's a good segue for that. So
Sure.
But but it can be done. And we're going to figure out first how we do it, and then next week we're going to figure out if we can do it.
And you know, you mentioned BFFs earlier. You mentioned BFFs earlier, and I left a message for I have several BFFs, and I refer to them sometimes as, this is my BFF since childhood. I'm a childhood friend. This is, you know, someone new or that kind of thing. But I left a voicemail for my best friend since we were about 3 or 4 years old. Didn't even know she was in town or not, just letting her know we were doing this show tonight. She called me from Florida. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brandy, I'm at the beach. That sounds really neat. I'm going to try and listen into the show. And it all of a sudden clicked in my head that we're soulmates. Now, when you're 3 years old and you meet someone, you don't even know about that kind of thing. You aren't even thinking that way. But our parents made sure that over the years, even though we lived in different states, that we got together. And a rich friendship developed over the years, kind of like you might liken it to the elderly couple I mentioned earlier that might have been married for 40 or 50 years. And we just made it work over the years. My opinion is not always going to be what her opinion is about lots of things. But I respect her, and she knows I love her, and there's nothing in the world I wouldn't do for her. I can't imagine life without her. So I've made her my soulmate. Does that make sense? It's been a choice to make her a soulmate.
Yeah,
and likewise with her.
If you were true soulmates, would you not have known she was in Florida?
Ooh, good one, John.
See? Thank you. Touche.
We'll talk it up for the next show. Yeah, touche. You need to make another show now about intuition.
No.
Intuition
that would
and relationships.
That would take
good.
Too long.
Good. I should have known she was in Florida, actually.
Say it,
you're so right.
Okay.
So right, John.
All right, so let's talk about a couple things here. We have some elements of a soulmate. What makes a soulmate? We're not going to talk about all of them because a couple of them are, quite frankly, pretty stupid. So some elements of a soulmate. The first one is, it's something, how somebody makes you feel, okay? Something inside, whether they make you feel, what emotion it is, or the fact they actually bring emotion out in you. A lot of people are not able to bring emotion out in themselves, and somebody else can actually do that. You're on your second trip down, and do you feel that's
mm-hmm.
something that that you've gone through, that they actually your people actually bring the emotion out in you?
Maybe some
certain
emotions
that you wouldn't have known about. Yeah, right. But emotions that you normally wouldn't feel, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Yes, I would have to agree with that. It reminds me of that famous quote, and I wish I could think of whom the person was that said it, but they said people will never forget how you made them feel. And
well, that can be
anybody,
and it could be any way,
right,
too,
right,
but you're
right.
Right,
well, that's true. But, yes, there would be something inside, certainly. And yes, for me, there was and there is. And we've even had some difficult times, and he's had some illnesses, and I've been by his side. And that I think, comes from me being a very empathetic person and caring and being a very committed person to just having decided to get married in the first place and what that means.
Yeah.
But, right. I definitely, when I was being courted by him, for sure. I mean, I was going out with lots of different guys, and he's the one I kept going back to. He made me feel special. There was something in there inside of him that I guess brought out something better in me, and maybe it was vice versa. I can't
mm-hmm.
speak for him, but maybe. And I assume that you've had a couple of relationships too, John. What about you?
Oh, this is not about me. It's about you. So, no. I felt that way. I was talking to, I was at the Music City Center today, working at one of the booths and, talking to people about that. And, it's interesting that, if I were to have a soulmate, somebody that I would call that, I've already met her, and there's, absolutely no way that we will ever be able to, be a couple. But I've met that person that, that you just click with and you just know it. But it's the timing and, there's an age difference and all. It's just not going to happen. So it's been gone. That feeling's been gone for a couple of years now. But you always look back at the one that might have gotten away, and everybody has that. And that person that you think it's either regret not moving forward with it, or it just he or she just got away. You let them go or whatever. Yeah, everybody has that in their lives, and so that person could usually be a soulmate. But that again, it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't mean that I am never going to find another one, because that's ridiculous to think that. But
mm-hmm.
Another element is you just kind of get each other. I mean, you, I'm sure, and I know I am, just weird. We're just, we're wired differently. We're extroverted. we talk to everybody. We everybody's our friend. I mean, one of the things that, I take a lot of pride in, and I've posted this before, is, I like everybody. I love most people. I only hate two. And that's a pretty good percentage where I come from. So, but you meet that person that just gets the way you tick and gets where you're coming from and gets your stupid jokes that are, inside, and they laugh at every one of them, or, whatever the situation may be. But, you can call it, I call it just, a really solid relationship, but I mean, some people will call it a soulmate thing. What are your thoughts on
that
getting emails?
I would certainly agree with that. You know, in fact, I find myself I'm having to restrain myself a bit because I am in a marriage right now. And I don't want to talk about anything too deep in my own personal marriage. But you know, I'm very committed
talk
to my marriage.
Friends,
but I wouldn't. I don't think my husband would be offended by me even saying this. I wouldn't say that as a whole, especially looking back on it. We've been married a little over 6 years now. My first marriage was for 15 years, but I'm not completely sure that we get each other. And I do have girlfriends where, boom, we get each other. I have a couple of guy friends that we just get each other, and I'm not attracted to them in any sort of romantic way or anything, nothing at all like that. But we have hobbies that we enjoy. We kind of have the same wacky whatever. We could just hang all day, and we don't notice that 5 or 6 hours have passed by, where I could be with my own husband and, you know, he's like, okay, have we done enough yet? Of whatever the thing is, you know, that I might enjoy. And I said,
David,
yeah,
that's
sure
just
that's
extroverted
my,
versus introverted. That's all that is.
I hope so. You know, and it is what it is either way. But, yeah, I totally understand what you mean. I have met people, and it sometimes it's instant, and you just have to sometimes check yourself, too, to make sure it's not just a chemical attraction, you know, something that you can't actually physically see. And maybe I hate to use infatuation since we're kind of insinuating opposite sex stuff here, but we can find ourselves very infatuated with people until you really get to know them. You know, I once heard someone say, try to spend 2 weeks on a, you know, somewhere together without anyone else, just you and another guy or, you know, you and another woman, whatever.
Yeah.
And if you can make it through 2 weeks, then you know you found someone special. Maybe that's
well,
a good
it's kind
test,
of funny.
Maybe not, but...
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You hear women especially use the term, you know, D-bag when describing guys. And those are usually guys I've found that they've had a crush or an infatuation with initially. And then they actually got to know
them. What is the term again? Because I don't think I've heard that. T-bags? Oh, douchebag.
You know, man.
Oh,
yeah.
We all know douchebag.
I was trying to be. Yeah, but I think it
that came from, you know, they had a crush or an infatuation on that guy, and then they actually got to know him, and that makes him a douchebag now. So it's kind of funny how that works out. But another element is intensity. I mean, I see this a lot where, you know, especially starting out, it's a very intense relationship, emotionally intense, and in a good way, intense physically, intense. I mean, they never leave each other's side. And, you know, the friends disappear, you know, you quit hanging out with your friends, you quit, you know, doing all that stuff like you were doing, and all of a sudden, you know, ooh, we're engaged. So intensity is a real trait of a soulmate relationship, because it is a little bit more, it is deeper than a normal relationship would be. Sometimes good, again, sometimes bad. Have you had that before?
Yes, you know what I have, and I'm sitting here thinking about my I'm a teenage son right now who I think is kind of in, or was in a relationship like that. He's still in the relationship with that girl. I think they've been almost 10 months now together. But they decided that they both needed to spend time with their own friends, like she with her girlfriends and he with his guy friends more. And so they're trying to find that balance. But I would say for the first 6-7 months, they were like that. And I can look at my own life and see that as well. But I don't even think it's an age thing. Teenagers do it. Adults do it. College students do it. Definitely. And you know, to some degree, maybe those are the lucky ones. Maybe we're all kind of deep down wishing we had something like that, something that was so great and filled us so much that we – maybe this sounds selfish, but we don't even need the other people in our lives because this other person is completing us to a certain, you know, whatever.
Well, but you know, it's hard to play Pictionary with two people too. So you need to have friends around
you
and
got a point.
Stuff like that. So,
you definitely have a point.
But you know, you see that especially, and you see that especially with people, you know, teenagers and people in their early 20s. They get all wrapped up in this one person, and their friends drop off, and their family drops off, and you know, it's all about that one person. But then you know what? Something happens and it doesn't work out, and they are literally immobilized for 6 to 12 months because they don't know where to go or what to do or who to hang with or, you know, because not everything's going to last forever, especially when you're that young. I mean, you're talking 50,
right.
60 years if you're getting married that young. That's a long time to stay together. We're not our grandparents anymore. And nobody goes into a relationship, you know, thinking it's going to end. I mean, you kind of go in with a defeatist attitude, it's going to end. But, you know, like I said before, you either stay together the rest of your life or you break up. There's not any other choice here, you know? So
you're right. I mean, even when you're looking at death, the death rate's 100% for all of us, right? It's just a matter of who goes
first. Counts as a breakup. Yeah, death counts
right,
as a breakup.
Right, that's what I meant.
Sure.
That's what I meant. Somebody's got it's going to break up at some point, whether it's death or someone saying goodbye. I mean, either way.
Hopefully not anytime soon. Anyway, another element,
right.
Another trait of a soulmate is it's the two of you against the world. You know, we're going to take on the whole world, whether it be in business or personal or music or whatever your takes you. You know, you're going to do this together. Now, you know, that's merely supporting each other. And in what you're doing with your careers or what you're doing, you know, in whatever aspect of your life you're doing it in, you know, that's just each other supporting each other and helping each other. And, you know, it's a partnership. I mean, a relationship is a partnership,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's going to be a lifelong
right.
one. And if you don't go into it with that attitude, you're not going to succeed at it. But, you know, a soulmate, you know, not all of them will have that same attitude, I don't think, but I think the majority of them will, and that's what, you know, brings them tighter together, because they always have something to talk about.
Yeah, and they're always going to probably feel protective of the other one as well.
As they should. I mean, that should be the case.
Within that, us against the world. You know, if someone were to say, if you and I were together, John, someone would even say something negative about you. Of course I'm going to say, what did you say about John? You know. How dare you? He's a good man.
Say, I will,
don't, you shouldn't say something unless you know what you're talking about.
She'll come out and cut you. She will cut you. Anyway.
Jeff Dunham's, I will kill you.
I kill you. That's right.
Mentally,
the couple is inseparable. That's a harder one. I mean, the rest of the world can't figure that one out. Because if you're mentally inseparable, you're on the same wavelength. You know, again, that goes to predicting each other or finishing each other's sentences. You know, what's the other one going to do? You know what they're going to do. You know what they're thinking, that kind of thing. I mean, nobody from the outside can know anything or even tell that that's even happening. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. It's kind of the whole connection similar to what twins have. You know, that's in utero. I mean, that's not anything that anybody from the outside will ever be able to understand. Is, you know, that connection that you would have similar to twins, you know. But if you were able to have that connection, then you might have found that soulmate.
Yeah, well, I guess I can mark that one off my list because I don't have that one
we
right
will mark
now.
This. We're doing a checklist. There's eight or, you know, 8 to 10 of these that I think if you get half of them, if you have half of them in your relationship, you have I think that's a fair assessment to getting, maybe that person is your soulmate if you have half of these. The next one is feeling secure and protected. Now, that's, again, is the same for any relationship that, you know, especially the female, women want to feel secure and protected. It's not a gender thing. It can be, but it's not a sexist thing, I should say. I'm not being sexist here, but, you know, women want to feel secure. They want to feel protected, you know, and men do too, for that matter, but if you're doing that for each other, then that's a good thing. And you maybe have found somebody that you should hang on to for a long, long time.
You know what? I might call that my safe spot.
Your safe
spot? That person is my safe spot. You know, when I feel, I mean, I'm a woman and you're speaking with me right now and other people are listening to it. And that person for me would be my safe spot because there are days when I'm going to feel sad, I'm going to feel discouraged, I might feel lonely, and that person's going to be my safe spot. That person is, it could be I'm a working on a project and the guy that hired me decides, you know what, nothing against you, Brandy, but we decided to just not to cancel the project. We're not going to do this anymore. And
right.
I had seen these huge dollar signs in my head and already practically spent the money and poof, it's gone. And I've got that partner, mm-hmm. and I can tell you most women are probably going to agree with me, probably, that from a financial perspective even, it's so nice to know I've got a partner that, again, that's my safe spot, okay? My income that I thought was coming in from this job didn't work, but I've got a cushion over here because I have a partner, and he's got a job, thank goodness. You know, it's that security of feeling protected from a financial standpoint, an emotional standpoint. Not always a mental standpoint, because at that point, you want to be autonomous, you know, from the other person. But
right.
It's nice. It's nice to feel safe and secure and to have your safe, soft spot. And maybe a guy would describe it the same way as a woman would, like I am. But it's so nice. I've had several relationships, and I can tell you the best ones are the ones in which I feel at home. When I'm with that person, we could be sitting in a car. If we didn't have a dime in our names, we were living out of a trailer. That would be my safe spot.
Right.
Because I was with him.
That's a good way of looking at it. Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I think most people would agree with you on that. Now, the next one, actually the next two, the last two on the, you know, the elements of the soulmate. I mean, this one's kind of a no-brainer. If you land on this one, then you may have found the one that you need, and that is you can't imagine your life without him or her. I mean, that to me just kind of sums all of it up. If you cannot imagine you being without that person, then, you know, I mean, a comedian once says, you know, once said in one of his bits that I heard on the radio was that the you know, a soulmate is somebody that you won't mind wiping their butt when they're 80 years old. You know, you can't live the rest of your life without, and you don't mind, you know, wiping their butt when they're old, you know, and that's somebody that you're going to want to live with the rest of your life. So, you know, I mean, it might be a kind of a gross way of looking at it, but it is true. And
Actually, it's tender at the same time. I get it. I totally get it. Yeah.
Imagine your life
you
without
know,
him
the
or
humor
her,
or
and then the other one is.
Mm-hmm. Can we stick on that one for just a second? I was going to just mention that, you know, I can honestly say that, and this is, again, probably a bit of comedian coming out of me right now. Until someone's been married for quite a while, they might start wishing that they could live without that person. But, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, right.
I mean, for, you know, sometimes we're all googly-eyed and the wedding's a big production and everything else. And once you're settled in to your home, whatever that's going to be, and you've had a few years down the road and maybe some kids come along, you're kind of, your mind's wandering, you're daydreaming about how that person's going to maybe, you know, they're going to take a plane flight to Washington, D.C. and maybe never come home. They're just going to want to stay. And,
yeah.
Oh, boy, you know.
Right.
And I think that goes for men and women. And I am making a joke about it, of course. I'm keeping it a little bit lighthearted. But I completely – I think we've all felt that feeling, even if you want to call it infatuation. But then again, I understand that you're a comedian's long-term thing about wiping. But, yeah, that's a sweet, tender sort of beautiful love, really. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. You said
well,
you had a 10, a number 10.
And then the last one is how you look into each other's eyes. If you look into her eyes or look into his eyes and you see something, I haven't ever figured it out, but they look into each other's eyes when they're talking. They look into each other's eyes more than normal. And you just see that connection, and you can see that the public can see that. If people who are connected are talking to each other and they're looking at each other, people standing around them can like, wow, that's pretty awesome. And that's why one of my favorite traits on a woman is her eyes. That's the first thing I look at. You know, if I can just picture myself staring at her eyes for like forever, that is, God, I just sound like a kid, like forever. if you can picture yourself looking into her eyes or his eyes, if you're female, you know, for a long period of time, then you might want to have something there. But You know, I mean, my eyes are brown. People look at me and think I'm just full of shit. So, I mean, that's okay, but it is.
Mine are brown,
too. It's a little more difficult. Yeah, exactly. So that would never work with you and I, for sure, right? But, it's interesting to see that because, if you're looking anywhere else but into their eyes, there's a problem when you're talking to them. So there will be a problem.
I will speak on behalf of all women, and I cannot imagine a woman that would not agree with you because I think that's just human. I'm going right.
Well,
I
don't think any men would agree.
A woman or a man, even a girlfriend. Yeah, I'm into the eyes. What's the saying? The eyes, the windows of the soul.
I thought that was.
Yeah, there's something about. Well, that you're getting a little more in medical field there, huh? Looking inside the body.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
No, I think that that's a beautiful thing. I like what you said. As a woman, if you've ever wondered, Johnny, any other guys out there listening to this show, women even like to hear that. We love to hear it when a guy even says, I just can't stop looking into your eyes. There's something about your eyes. We just seem to melt, and maybe, just maybe, the reason we do that is because we feel the same way about the guy. So it's like the
versus having to say to the guy, hey, my eyes are up here. That's a different situation, so.
I won't even, you mentioned douchebag earlier. I wouldn't even pay attention to a guy if he's wanting to look at my chest. I'm just like, what a douchebag. I've got so much more above my chest than I do below. And I mean, I think I do anyway. I mean, John, you've met me. I mean, I'm pretty well endowed, I guess people would say, but I don't, I like to think there's much more in my head than about my body. I'm so much more than that. That's just so superficial to me because my body's going to get old just like the person next door and the 25-year-old down the row. It's what's inside that counts, and those pretty eyes are always going to be pretty.
That's true, and, to quote our buddy Ron White, the comedian, you get a real quick story to make your point, but, he married a 50-year-old woman because – no matter what happens, she can get a tummy tuck. She can get her hearing fixed. She can get a boob job. She can get facelift. But you can't fix stupid. And marry for conversation. You marry for her brain. And if you need to get her body fixed, you can do that if you want to. But
That is so true.
Anyway, all right, we're going to talk about for the last bit of the show, how to spot your potential soulmate. And I say potential because nothing's guaranteed. We know that. But the one that really jumped out at me when I was reading through a couple of these was coincidences. Coincidences surround you, okay? Now, more often than not, you'll ask the couple how they met. And they'll say, well, I was supposed to go this place, but ended up going this place, and I met him or her there. Well, that's a coincidence. That's timing. That is faith you might follow, that's God, or whatever you might think of that, pulling those strings to bring these two people together. But it is basically a coincidence. You were supposed to go to this venue, but it was sold out. So you went to this venue, and there she was. Which, if the other one had been sold out, you never would have met her, And so I thought it's always, A, it's timing, B, it's coincidence, and C, it's just fun as hell because you don't ever know what's going to happen when you go somewhere you weren't supposed to originally.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so true. What's the name of that movie, John? Serendipity? Have you ever seen that?
Serendipity, that's a good movie. I mean, anything with Kate Beckinsale in it, you can't go wrong. So she's just like the hottest person on the planet to me. I don't know why. Anyway.
Who is?
Well, yes. What? Kate Beckinsale.
Whom did you say?
Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, she. I first remember spotting her in, what was the World War II movie? Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
I remember her playing a nurse in that, I believe.
Yeah, the World War II movie,
Yes. She's quite stunning.
Anyway.
She is, definitely.
Yeah, so, but Serendipity is a good movie to think about that, which...
Yeah,
but,
mentioned the coincidences, I instantly thought of Serendipity because, as I recall, it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but they keep bumping into each other. They happen to eat at the same restaurant or pass each other here, or they happen to have a friend in common they didn't know they had in common. And you know, sometimes in life, even just friends, again, that doesn't have to be, you know, if you're totally platonic, it can be members, you know, opposite sex, but you are finding that if you'll give that person more than 5 minutes of your time, you might find you've made a new friend. I used to look at my dating life like that. Any guy that asked me out, I didn't care what he looked like. I didn't care how much money he did or didn't have. It didn't, just going to lunch or dinner with a gentleman did not mean to me that it had to be romantic. As far as I was concerned, I might be making a new friend. And indeed I have. So it turned out to be a great blessing.
We always
like
that, by the way.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love making new friends, just like you mentioned earlier. We're both outgoing. We love meeting new people. I imagine you probably like to travel as well. Don't know that, but I'm guessing. And, you know, we will find coincidences, and we have things in common. And that's how we make new friends. But you got to give somebody a little time.
Right.
Give some time to get to know them. Don't just give them 10 minutes or 15 or a quickie lunch when you really have something else on your mind. You know, give that person your full attention.
Wait, you said
full
quickie.
Focus.
You said quickie lunch, not quickie at lunch, right?
Quickie
lunch. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
not a quickie at lunch. Okay.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty
exactly.
Good lunch.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you need to get your mind out of the gutter now. You talked about Ron White.
And
you started wandering that way now. Let's get back.
Yeah, I know. That's just how we roll.
I know.
Another
you're
tip
a guy.
That,
I can accept that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not changing anytime soon, so. But quote-unquote, tip for spotting your soulmate is something called instant recognition. All right, and this is kind of, I don't know if this is a good example, but I'm going to throw it out there. And I've had several friends of mine have this happen to them in the last couple years, and I found it interesting. It's not as instant, but it is also, it's more of a finally recognition. And what's happened is they went to high school, they had a high school sweetheart, they went to college, you know, they broke up, they went to college, they, you know, started their career, they da 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 da. Fast forward 15 or 20 years, and they reconnect with that high school sweetheart, and boom, bam, slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, married in within 6 months, happy as they've ever been in their whole life.
Mm.
Because they retroed back to the old days. Yeah, they retroed back to their first, quote-unquote, soulmate. And I mean, it's not isolated. I've had 4 or 5 people have this happen to them, mainly women. They just went back to somebody they already knew and knew well and knew of and knew, but it's just, you know, 20 years later. And that was it. It was over. So
yeah, I'm going to go on a limb and say what you said earlier, we talked about on the 10 elements of a soulmate, one of them being needing women mainly needing to feel secure and protected. If you think about it, when we're much older, had other relationships, as you mentioned, this instant recognition, this couple recognizing it for all these years and coming together again. From you said, now I'm just quoting you, you've heard this stories mainly from women, real-life stories, that a woman, during her lifetime, even outside of her home and her career, and I'm not trying to sound too sexist, and maybe I do, if that's okay, guys, just you can hate me. But, you know, we put up with a lot. We put up with a lot from men in life, whether they're making sexual advances to us when it's inappropriate in a business setting, whether we've kind of been beaten down here and there of working and having kids and you know, just life in general. And been through several men, and you know, maybe our husbands pass on, and we're a widow, and maybe there's a 40th high school reunion or something to that effect. And I've heard of these types of things happening too. And you reconnect with that first, again, safe spot, that first person that you at least thought you loved. You want to call a soulmate. We can give lots of names, but for women, I'm just going to guess here that you know we all of a sudden feel safe because hey, that guy knew me back when. That guy knows the real me, and I'm guessing the guy's feeling the same way. I've seen some guys that are worth maybe $20, $30 million, but they reconnect with their sweetheart that knew them when they were pushing lawnmowers in people's yards hoping to earn $10 for the whole yard. Because that person knows the real them. They know them from back then, and who they are is what matters, not what they have. Does that make sense to you?
No, absolutely, totally.
So they're recognizing that the inside of that person, not just a lot of men gain weight over the years. It could be the guy was the football jock in high school, and now he's about 350 pounds. But that woman sees him, and all she sees is that football player in high school. And she remembers the love and how he made her feel. And they look into each other's eyes. You mentioned eyes. And probably boom and bam for both of them. That's why they get married so quickly. They just know. And it feels right, and it works.
Yeah. Well, it's
so
a good thing, but I don't remember
any
of my high school. Yeah. I don't remember any
really?
Of my high school sweethearts. So. Yeah. I don't think I had any.
I remember mine. I had several. I remember each one of them, and they were all wonderful, and they're still wonderful guys. I keep up with so many of them.
Oh,
they're all nice,
okay.
Nice men.
Yeah, they're
so,
all good.
Yeah.
So.
I say you're just sibbing, and you probably have some. You're just not going to mention it, right?
Well, I know one passed away, and so she's off the market for sure.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. It was a long time ago. Everybody, no, I can't remember anybody else. Oh, well. Moving on.
All right. Let's move on.
So, yeah, and I think, well, just to wrap that part up, I think a lot of it also has to do with when people reconnect from somebody with their past, whether it's been 5 years or 25 years, I think it also has to do with the fact that they already know each other. They don't have to go through the crap of, you know, dating and getting to know each other again. You know, and finding out all your quirks and all of your medical issues and all of your, you know, past stuff. I mean, they already know each other, and they can bypass that. I think that's why a lot of them are getting married so quickly, because they know. They're saving 6 months to a year on just the dating crap that goes on, and they can just get down to the relationship part and be happy, and good for them.
You know, and they also remember that person's parents, their family. Think about that side of it. They don't have to sit around and wait for dating for the person for a year to find out that the guy comes from some strange family where everybody is on heavy medication and doped up and two people are in jail for homicide or something. You know, you don't want to waste a couple of years dating somebody to find that out, because you marry the family when you marry someone.
No, you're totally right. There is a lot of stuff. I mean, yeah, because, you know, you don't just marry the person. You marry their family. And, you know, you don't want to end up on an episode of Cops or Springer, you know, because you married the wrong family, you know. So, I mean, unless what you're into, I don't know. So,
no,
I
can remember being madly in love and finding what I thought was the guy, and he was wonderful. And he really, I can't say one negative thing about him. But when I really got to know his family really, really well enough, they were the reason I didn't marry the guy. And he'll never know that. He doesn't know that to this day.
Right.
So,
Well, now
we know. The family has a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, if I knew then what I know now, I would have, you know, not done that. So, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But and the last one, before we wrap up for tonight, one way to spot your soulmate, and probably the most logical way, is just your gut. I mean, your intuition, your gut instinct, how do you feel around that person? How are you reacting when they're around you? I mean, just your gut instinct tells you something. Now, you still have to deal with the timing issues. You know, is it the right time for both of you to be in that situation? But, you know, you can definitely meet somebody that you might think is your soulmate, and your gut will tell you whether it is or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I cannot deny
that.
I don't think any person would. And the worst part of that is it actually can happen while you're married to someone else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that you have, women talk about butterflies, getting butterflies or getting tingles. And, you know, men talk about, they just talk about her. I mean, that just for us, just if we talk about her to everybody that we know, that says something about her, because we're just flat out talking about her. You know, we'll do it in a cool way because we're cool. But, you know, you know, the fact that we tell everybody that we know about this woman means that that's pretty special. And, I talk about you all the time to my friends. Really? I didn't know that. That's good. So, but your gut is one way, again, to determine if you believe in soulmates, be your soulmate. So, But again, make sure she's not married. Or make sure he's not married.
Yeah, and then, matter of fact, I'm thinking the girl I need to set you up with right now, John.
Yeah,
right. Somebody in mind. I've got a gut instinct that she would be great for you. You know, I think women are that way with each other as well. And I can't speak for men, but I can be in a circle of women, maybe two of them I've known for a while, and, you know, it's a group of women. So we each invite a couple of friends. And I may, two of us just may hit it off, and there's just this gut instinct, like, I think I've known you forever. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe we have never met before. And then it's the reverse as well. Sometimes you meet people, and you just have this gut instinct that I need to stay away from them. I don't know why. I can't. Yeah. I have no logic or reason to it, but they're not good for me in my life. You know, if you want to investigate it, you might find out that they might not be a good influence in your life, you know, or something. But so it works both ways, you know.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. But anyway, I think that, and, you know, because women tend to travel in packs or herds or whatever, you know, groups, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, you guys,
click.
You know, tend to do that. Don't deny it. Clicks. Yeah, click is another word. Depends
women
on the venue. Depends
men,
on.
You guys, you men are herds.
No, we don't know. We're not a herd.
We don't travel in herds. We travel in packs. Pack of wolves. That's us.
Like a pack
but,
of wolves.
pack of wolves. That's us. But I think,
wolves.
You know, I mean, you know, the funny thing is that, just I don't know, this just came to mind that if you get a group of guys in one area of the bar or the restaurant or the venue, whatever, and you have a group of girls in another part and one guy clicks with one of the girls, he's likely to ditch his friends for her before she will ditch her friends for him. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I would. I had to think about it for a second, but yeah, because I'm thinking back in my own life. Yeah. Women are more loyal and to their own girlfriends, to the sense of from a safety standpoint even. Like, we have rules when we go out, you know, we're going somewhere together, we're going home together. And so even the other girlfriends, if a woman wanted to ditch them, they would be more reluctant to even let her go because you never know.
Right.
I mean, you just never know.
Well, yeah.
So,
I mean, even if she insists, even if she says, I'm going with him, you know, you're going to drag her out to the car by her hair or something, I think. But,
yeah. Yeah, more than likely. We'll use logic. We'll say, hey, you can see him again tomorrow. If he really cares about you that much, he'll call you tomorrow. You know, maybe you can meet him during the daytime at lunch or, you know, come to a group, you know, gathering somewhere else later. But, yeah, you're right. And you're right. I think when a guy meets someone that he is so enamored with, he just loses all sense of sense. He has no sense.
Well, we don't think with our head anymore. You know, we don't think with our brain anymore, I should say. But
that's the way that men are made. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way women are and men are. And
that's
how it.
But a lot of women think there is something wrong with it. That's why we have the battle of the sexes all the time. So, but anyway.
Good point.
That's okay. Without that, we would not have as much fun doing what we do, which is, you know, talking about it on the radio and observing it in real life and living it ourselves. So here we are, right? But thank you, Brandy, for joining us. Brandy Nash has been our guest tonight. We appreciate your insight. It's been great. I unfortunately have to hop in the car and head down to MC a show tonight downtown. So we're going to leave you early. And again, please join us. Go to the website, itsnotmeradio.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. The YouTube video is, I'm making it this week. It should be kind of cool. And join us again next week when we talk about the second part of this, which is finding love again, how to find that second soulmate when you've lost your first one. And a great story by Kip Kirby and John Seale. They'll be joining us live. So without further ado, I appreciate you guys. Thank you to Regime Entertainment for the sponsorship. Thank you to Brandy Nash for joining me tonight. And we will see you
You're
all
very
next
welcome,
Thursday
John.
At 6. Thank you, ma'am. And we'll see you next Thursday, 6:30 Central Time. And as always, peace out.
Peace out.